The NHL Draft on WGR. Who will the Sabres select?
On behalf of the Buffalo Sabres, proud to select.
Hear it live on the home of the Sabres.
And now, with all the coverage of the NHL Draft, here's your host, Brian Koziel and Brayton Wilson.
11:07, our coverage rolls on here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson, Brian Koziel, Zach Jones, Evan DePasquale, Paul Hamilton, all a part of our coverage here today. We expect to hear from Sabres GM Kevin Adams as soon as the draft here in round one comes to a close. We are on pick 29. It was Carolina, but they have now traded it to Chicago. So another delay here before we get to pick 29. And then the Sharks at pick 30, and then we'll get to 32, and it'll be over. And again, we'll hope to hear from Kevin Adams immediately after the first round comes to an end. Our coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and also by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. All right, so the Blackhawks coming up here, and we know at the end of this draft, it was supposed to be pick 32 and supposed to be Florida because they won the cup. However, because of trades, they don't own that last pick. But we do have some news with Florida today. Sam Bennett, who Sabre fans were dreaming, could Kevin Adams somehow pull off?
Give him $10 million. I don't care. Just get him in here.
No. And it might have taken $10 million had it gotten past Florida. But the Panthers said, nope. No one, including the Sabres, is going to get a shot at Sam Bennett. He re-signs 8 years, $8 million per, a $64 million extension. So Bennett, obviously, a huge reason why the Panthers went back-to-back and repeated as champions, end up winning the playoff MVP Conn Smythe Award as well. Any surprise that Bennett didn't try to see if there was a even monsterer payout out there after it was
maybe
done?
Maybe a little, but he seemed pretty adamant right off the bat that he didn't want to go anywhere else but being in Florida. So, good on Sam Bennett for getting the money that he got paid. He had a stellar Stanley Cup playoffs. He led the league with 15 goals in the playoffs in total. And he had a great final, too. He was a huge reason why Florida was able to come out on top for a second straight year, so good on him.
Yep. All right, Chicago's up. Let's go to the commissioner.
Mason West. Great scoring.
All right, Mason West, center, and from Edina High School in Minnesota.
Yes, Mason West is a very interesting player. Again, a guy that I didn't necessarily get too much of a chance to really watch and really pay attention to. But Mason West, 6'6", 218 pounds. One of the younger players in this draft class. He was a guy that was, again, ranked probably late first, early second, maybe middle second even as well. The thing about Mason West, though, really interesting. He actually he also plays football, and he's a quarterback. So there's a
great
potential that he goes to college. I think he was originally going to play at Minnesota, University of Minnesota. And recently, he just committed to Michigan State University. So, I don't know how that impacts his football play necessarily, but he was recruited as a quarterback to play in college football. So there's the potential that he goes to college, plays well for college football, and maybe gets drafted there. And then you get a conundrum of, okay, will he choose hockey or will he choose football? Well, he just became a first-round pick in the NHL, so that makes it a little more interesting. So, but I'll give you his Elite Prospects scouting profile. Elite Prospects says, beyond his imposing frame, West is a fluid skater with effortless extension and the reach and skill combination to make him high level plays. A natural shooter, he loads his shots from the hip using his upper body torque and frame transfer to generate power.
Okay,
he's a big kid though, really really big. I heard about his story and it was just like, that's intriguing, really really intriguing.
Yeah, so gonna play for Fargo this year.
Yep.
And then
Michigan State.
Yeah, 2026, 2027 season.
Yeah, so he's definitely a project. He's definitely someone that's going to take time. But this is a pick, and Chicago's making their third pick in the draft. And why are you taking him to the side room again? You've already had three. Okay, maybe not. They're not. They just said, nope, nope, we're done with this.
Yeah, they closed
it up. We're done
with
this, yes. I was just about to say, no, why are we doing this? We don't need to see Chicago talk again to their prospects. Sorry, got off the rails a little bit there.
Right.
But Mason West, they're drafting for upside there, really. That's really the pick. So very intriguing. So he doubles as a high school quarterback prospect. Yeah.
Okay. So
that's Mason West for you.
Pick 30, San Jose, 31, Los Angeles, and then pick 32, the Calgary Flames. Again, that was supposed to be Florida, but Panthers will be glad to celebrate with their Stanley Cup. So let's talk about unrestricted free agents, Brayden, and obviously now we don't have anybody that's going to be able to sign Sam Bennett since he's off the board. So when we look at UFAs, the biggest names, and I'll kind of go in order here based upon what their current salary is. Right now, Mitch Marner is the highest paid available UFA.
Yep.
His previous average annual salary was almost $11 million.
Mm-hmm.
So Marner, we know some Sabre fans would love to see Marner in a Sabre uniform. Ultimately,
probably not happening.
How much do you think Marner is going to get from some team? And do you think Toronto still has any chance?
No. I think his time in Toronto is done. I think it ended on an incredibly sour note. I feel to me at least, Marner was kind of done dirty by Toronto, and I think that's how he kind of sees this whole situation. So he's just like, nah, I'm moving on. I'm going elsewhere. I know that Toronto's his hometown, but and it seems to me like he's going to the Western Conference, somewhere in the Western Conference. I would have loved to have taken a swing at a guy like Mitch Marner, pay him $13, $14 million per year for, you know, over 8 years. That would have been fun. Seven years, I should say. That would have been fun, but I don't think that was ever going to be a realistic possibility for the Sabres. I think he's going to go to, I'll say, Vegas.
Okay. Nick Backstrom, second highest. He's been previously making over $9 million, $9.2.
But his career is done.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Nope.
Brent Burns, $8 million. Dmitry Orlov, $7.75.
No, Dmitry Orlov had a really bad playoffs for the Hurricanes. No.
Would you sign Aaron Ekblad?
Yes. Yes. If he wants to come here and wants to be part of the organization to help, I don't know where he fits. I mean, he might be the top defenseman right next to Dahlin, sure. I don't think he's going to come here, but if he does, great. Sign me up.
Yeah.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
All right. Other guys to look at here. How about Brock Besser? I'm just kind of scanning down here at some forwards.
I'll take Brock Besser.
He,
as long as he stays healthy.
Previously was $6.65 million.
As long as he stays healthy. I'll take him.
Yeah.
Do you want to take the Sharks pick here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right,
go
Evan.
Back to the commissioner here and San Jose at pick 30. Pick 30 for the Sharks. Here we go.
Fun to be a part of. But with this big title on my shoulder, we have another dream to make come true. So with the 30th overall selection in the 2025 NHL draft, the San Jose Sharks are proud to select, from the Prince George Cougars, Joshua Ravensbergen.
All right, all right, all right.
Weeks all right, Joshua Ravensbergen. Now we have our second goaltender.
Second goalie off the board, and Joshua Ravensbergen is a very, very solid goaltender. 6'5", 192 pounds, just a really smooth, prototypical, big style of goaltender. Takes up the net really well, really good lateral movement, really calm in the net, not overwhelming by any means for a goaltender of his size and whatnot. But the Sharks get themselves their future net, which is interesting because they just recently traded for Yaroslav Askarov, who was another former first-round pick. Really intriguing with this pick, and mind you, goaltenders develop differently, and it may be still 5 years before we see Ravensbergen in the NHL, but they just gave up quite a bit to go get Yaroslav Askarov from the Predators. But Askarov's probably going to play in the NHL over the next 5 years while Ravensbergen develops. So, you know, I guess they're really securing their goaltending future, which has been not great since the days of Martin Jones. And even then, Martin Jones was... Ooh, yeah. Good, you know, Ravensbergen's a good goaltender, though.
You thought he'd be the first one off
the board. I thought he'd be the first and only one.
Yeah. Well, two goalies now.
Pyotr Andreyev. Andreyanov. Yes, Andreyanov. Pyotr Andreyanov was the first one to go to Columbus at pick 20, and now pick 30 is Joshua Ravensbergen.
Yep. Very cool. All right, so two goalies off the board. If you're a goalie fan, I know Owen Parker is probably excited right now. Two goalies off the board. How about back to the UFA list here? By the way, two picks left. LA 31, Calgary 32, and then we're hoping to have Kevin Adams, the Sabres general manager. We'll take it live.
How would people feel right now if they just said, you know what? The Sabres have just traded the rest of their draft class to go to 31.
Fine.
Pick, you know.
Yep, fine.
Every pick goes to the Kings, and the Sabres are picking back in the first round. I'll take it.
All right, so you like the idea of Besser. I'm going to – is Claude
just,
Giroux
just
too
as long
old for
as he
you?
Stays healthy. Besser. I'm fine with that.
Claude Giroux, too old for you? 6.5
yeah,
million.
Yeah, and I just have a feeling he's going to go back to Ottawa.
Yeah. How about Brad Marchand? 6.1 with Florida.
Sounds great, but I think he's going to Toronto. Toronto's going to overpay for a 37, 38-year-old, which is going to be kind of hilarious.
Okay, we mentioned this name earlier, Nikolai Ehlers. $6 million right now with Winnipeg. His contract expires.
I love the idea. I just don't think he's going to go anywhere. I'd love to be surprised, though.
Andrew Mangiapane, 5.8.
That's an interesting name that I would seriously consider. A really nice just middle forward that can jump up the lineup and if need be. I would sign on to that.
Yeah. We mentioned Michael Granlund earlier because he was a former number 9 overall draft pick. He's making $5 million this year with the Stars. His contract expires.
Yeah, I mean, you could bring him in to be a veteran presence down the middle, help out, you know, fill a spot. I don't know what he's going to do other than that. He produced well for San Jose, but if you look at his time in, or not San Jose, Dallas, but if you look at his time in San Jose, it wasn't anything to really brag about.
Patrick Kane, he's an unrestricted free agent. He made $4 million with Detroit.
I'll always say if he wants to come back and play for his hometown team, that's on him, and that's fine. I don't see it happening. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think the year that he was deciding where to play, and remember he wasn't playing for like half the season, wasn't that the same year the Sabres missed by a point?
I want to say yes, but
yeah,
I could
I feel
be
like
wrong.
I remember arguing, like, wouldn't he at some point maybe have made a difference to
could have,
get
yeah.
you that extra couple points you needed?
Yeah.
Could have been a possibility there.
Let's see. That felt like eons ago. I just have to double-check myself because I...
right? There was a year he didn't play for the first half of the year, right?
No, that would have been the year that Granato got fired.
Oh, okay. So that was... Yeah.
Could he have come in and helped turn the tide instead of that outcome for the season? Perhaps. He was a deadline acquisition in 23 by the Rangers. And the 23, was it the 23? Yeah, 23 when they just missed out by a point.
Yep, 23 by a point. Mm. All right, other forwards I'm looking at here. Anthony Mantha, $3.5 million with Calgary.
He's coming off of a significant knee injury. He's a guy that can score, but he needs to develop a little more consistency. That's a type of deal where it's a prove-it deal. If you bring him in, you sign him to a one-year deal, you give him $1 million, prove it.
Yep.
See what happens.
Brandon Tanev, Winnipeg, 3.5 also.
I mean, that's a fine player too. I wouldn't mind taking that, but, you know, whatever. None of the names really kind of intrigue me, honestly.
Jeff
other than
Skinner,
the big names.
$3 million.
See, Jeff Skinner.
Yep.
Kings.
Right. Kings are up 31. Let's head back to L.A.
When I say L.A., you say Kings. That's right, Los Angeles. You've been waiting all day for this one. With the 31st overall selection in the 2025 NHL Draft, the Los Angeles Kings are proud to select from the London Knights, Henry Ruskevich.
Henry Ruskevich, defenseman from London to the OHL, going pick 31 to the Kings.
Yeah, right shot defenseman, 6'1", 194 pounds. London was stacked with defensemen this year. They had Oliver Bonk, who's a former first-round pick of the Flyers. Why am I blanking on the other? Oh, Sam Dickinson last year, former first-round pick of the Sharks. So Ruskevich was kind of a guy that got pushed down the lineup for the London Knights, but served a really good role. I mean, he served a specific role as a two-way defenseman on the right side and still produced pretty well. 10 goals, 42 points in 67 games, was a big part of them, helping them win a not only the OHL Championship, but a Memorial Cup with the London Knights this year. Pretty good skater, can jump up, is really smart, doesn't make too many dumb decisions back there. A good, solid pick. His brother Hunter was drafted in the third round by the Canucks in 2023. So some pretty good bloodlines there. Nice pickup for the Kings.
Okay. We've got one to go.
One more.
And it's Calgary here. So we're almost to the end. And then, again, we'll hope to hear from Sabres GM Kevin Adams. How about Mason Appleton, Winnipeg, 2.1 right now?
Yeah, that's a nice depth player, third, fourth line guy that you could take a flyer on if he fits. Sure.
Morgan Geeky, Boston, made $2 million.
Sure.
Nico Sturm, Florida, made $2 million.
Okay.
Trying to throw some more forwards at you here.
Rossi
is a restricted.
Yeah, he could be offer sheeted.
Yes.
He's an interesting, I mean, all these guys are intriguing names. They're not sexy, especially the guys that, you know, could the Sabres throw out some money this offseason? Absolutely. They have the space to.
Brendan Saad, a guy that they could have picked up on waivers last
year. He's going back to Vegas.
Looks like he's going back, yeah. Remember, though, he was available for free. And by free, I mean you didn't have to give up anything for him because he was available on waivers.
Right.
And he's got winning experience from Chicago. Like, you know, those are some of the moves I feel like here and there that, you know, I always feel like take the chance on it. Like, it's a low, low, low price. You're collecting him on waivers. Like, you know, I mean, he obviously wasn't making that much. Saad was making 1.5, and you only had to pay him for what, the last month and a half of the season at that point when he was waived, or 2 months left. Like, I mean, we were talking under $1 million for a guy that's won cups. I don't know. Let's see. Any other interesting names down the list here? Most of the guys down here at the bottom are more RFAs because, you know, they made so little here. How about, let's see, Max Pacioretty, 1.5.
I don't even know what his future holds. He might just retire.
Yeah. I was only giving you forwards, by the way.
That's
too.
Fine.
Although
we got
Ekblad there with D, but most of them were forwards. There's some obviously some D. But
yeah, I mean,
I think the Byram situation is something that we're going to have to obviously see. If he gets moved, well, then there's going to have to be another D probably brought in.
Yeah, the Byram trade I could easily see happening tomorrow. That's sort of like one of those just, oh, hey, it's, you know, middle of the third round, and all of a sudden, breaking news, the Sabres have traded Bowen Byram. Whoopee.
Yeah.
I love Bowen Byram. I wish that he would stay. And if the Sabres can keep him in the fold, great. I would love that. Right now, he could be the guy that plays next to Dahlin, and then you have Owen Power and Michael Kesselring, and then your bottom pair, Connor Clifton and whoever else. Fine. But again, the whole fact of the matter is if he wants to go play as a top two defenseman somewhere else, if there's a team that's willing to accommodate and you can get the right value, then by all means.
Yep. All right. Well, we're waiting on the final pick here of the draft, 32, which is Calgary. Again, that part of the trade with Florida. This was obviously a Panthers pick that is now the Flames. Draft coverage will start tomorrow here on WGR at 11. And then at 12, it gets back going with the Sharks at pick 33. And second, they'll start the second round. Buffalo will have the seventh pick in round number two at 39 tomorrow. After 39, let's see, the next time the Sabres pick is 71. Yeah, 71.
What about
the third round?
Brian, I want to get your thoughts on Mattias Samuelsson just because, you know, a lot was criticized about his game last year. I've been super critical of him just for the style of player he's supposed to fit. It hasn't worked out, and he's another guy that you gave a huge contract to, expecting him to be part of the core, and I just don't think it's going to work anymore. I don't think what they're asking him to be and what they expected him to be is there. And the big question this offseason is, you buy him out, it's only going to cost you $715,000 on the salary cap, but the only negative about that, you're paying him 10 years. And I at this point, I just say, screw it, do it.
Yeah, well, I'll give you my thoughts in a moment.
Yes,
let's go back to Bettman, Gary Bettman here with the last pick of the draft, or the first round, rather.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Just before I make that pick, I want to say congratulations to all 31 players picked in the first round. To the players that have not been picked and believed they were going to be in that first round, I say come with the best attitude you possibly can tomorrow and prove them all wrong. I would also like to say, make sure you thank your billets and especially your family. You cannot get here without them. With the 32nd overall pick in the 2025 NHL draft, the Calgary Flames are proud to select from the Arizona State University, Cullen Potter.
Good advice there from Lanny McDonald. He announcing the Flames pick, Cullen Potter, center from Arizona State.
Small forward. I think he's only listed at 5'9", maybe. But speed is the name of his game. He motors around the ice like no other. Maybe one of the fastest guys in this draft. Really motors around the ice. 13 goals, 22 points in 35 games for Arizona State this year. You know, he's got to get a little stronger. He's got to get a little more, you know, sturdier on his feet because he does get knocked down from time to time. The speed he can use to his advantage to get down the ice and beat out players to win puck battles, you know, just with speed alone. But then, you know, sometimes he does get himself into trouble by overdoing it sometimes, and then the puck goes the other way and puts himself in a bad situation. But definitely there's a lot of potential there with Cullen Potter to develop into something really nice for the Calgary Flames now at this point.
Yeah. All right, so round one in the books. When we come back, we are hoping to hear from Sabres GM Kevin Adams on round one and his thoughts on Radim Mirka. And also, Adams, again, has not been interviewed since the J.J. Paterka trade, so I'm sure we'll have some questions to him about that. So our continuing coverage of the NHL draft on WGR, brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Okay, we're going to not go to break. Kevin Adams speaking live to the media out in Orchard Park.
Conversations, but I mean, my intention was to be open if there was a way to help the team now to move in the pick, and a lot of conversations, but yeah, no, as you can see, like, not many first round picks are traded and that type of deal. But we worked at it and ultimately didn't feel like we were comfortable with anything that was presented. And we were excited to make the pick.
What excites you about America?
Well, I think, you know, it's a package that's pretty rare. 6'6", right shot defenseman that plays good two-way game, good with the puck, good feet, mobile, plays hard, really, really good kid. You know, and just in my experience as general manager over the years, it's extremely challenging to get those type of players if you don't draft them. So we just felt when that guy's on the board, that was the right pick to make.
How do you project Brian Burke already, or do you have a develop?
Yeah, I mean, I think with these young players, you know, they take time. You don't want to rush them. But I just philosophically, I always feel like they'll tell us when they're ready. And then you make room. You know, if that means right away, it's great. If it means year, 2 years, 3 years, you just don't know. But there's a good player there. And, you know, we project him as a top four right shot defenseman. Whenever that time comes, we'll see. But excited about him.
When you end up getting to that spot, I mean,
both those players, yeah, they're both extremely talented, and yeah, I mean, we like the other guy you mentioned a lot as well, but just where we had Merck on our list, you know, was ahead, and like I said, it's just you get to that spot, it's tough to pass on a guy like that with that package.
Can you talk about the trade situation? I'm assuming most of it was you guys acquiring, trying to make a move, and it just, you weren't getting a lot of interest from other teams. Is that accurate? I mean, they weren't that interested and that willing to do much.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to say it is it's just tough to this time of year, the way it goes, to get an impact player off of a team right now for a draft pick. That's just, you know, probably guess just the easiest way to say it. But we were having conversations right up till, you know, close to when the pick was made, but just there weren't the deals that I felt would have made our team better. And that's what I set out to do. If we were going to trade pick 9, it was because it was going to help the Buffalo Sabres right now be a better team, and that just didn't present itself.
What else stood out about him? I know he went to his college, but what really? Like,
well, I think his background is unique. And Frank Musil in Czech Republic, our scout over there, you know, he grew up relatively close to him, and he knew the family background and just his path. You know, not easy to get where he's gotten, and then his even transition from Europe into North America this year, the steps he took. You know, I personally saw him at the Hlinka last year in Edmonton, whatever, is that August? And, you know, he caught my attention right away just with the size and the mobility, and then so we were tracking him pretty close. But to see going from the Czech league and, you know, you're not getting as much ice time as a young guy and all of a sudden playing junior in the West, that's a big life transition. His English is great. Just an impressive kid. So there's more than just a hockey player there. It's a pretty impressive kid just as a person as well.
Kevin, what made the deal with Utah and Virginia something that you guys ultimately decided to do?
Well, I think for me, you know, when I talked to you guys the other day about, you know, you come out of the exit meetings at the end of the season, then you have your coaches' meetings and meetings with Terry, and you just really start to put a plan together. Okay, what are we focused on? How do we make our team better? And ultimately, when we made the decision to make the trade, that's what we felt we were doing. We were we identified 6 foot, you know, 5 right shot defenseman that we think has big upside still, competitive, plays hard, skates well, and really just for me, that was a critical piece that we needed to fill. We've been working on it for a long time and hadn't found the right fit, and he is. So that was a big part of it. And then for me, Doan is someone that he's such a good, just competitive, honest, two-way player at a young age. And we think, you know, he's going to step in our lineup and be impactful, but we think in time the ceiling is higher as well. He's going to be able to be an all-situation player, big, strong, physical, and elite character. And listen, both these guys, they want to be here. They're excited. They want to be part of the solution. And that, for me, when they checked the boxes that we were looking for, and then you add the character part, and I certainly did my homework, you know, even talked to Tage Thompson a few hours before the trade was finalized, just to make sure, you know, he had just spent time with them and knew both of them as well. But, you know, he was pretty excited when he heard the potential to bring these guys in our locker room.
How much talk was there, if any, about flipping 9-4?
You know, there was negotiations going on at different times. Ultimately, yeah, those are things that we went back and forth discussed. But for me, I was focused on Doan and Kesselrink. That's the guys I wanted.
Understanding what they bring to your team, what you believe they bring to your team, how do you replace the offense that you're ultimately losing? Do you feel like you have that internally? Is that something you need to address, and how do you plan to do
that? It's a great question, Matt, and it's something that we internally as a staff have spent a lot of time on, you know, recently. And, okay, if you take 28 goals out of your lineup, and potentially more because JJ is still a young player, what do you do? How do you replace that? What happens? And some of it can be the internal, the guys like the Jack Quinns of the world and Zach Benson's just progressing in their own game. But to be honest with you, when I really boil it down, I think with the talent that we have, we weren't as focused or concerned about scoring goals. It's more, can we defend better? Can we be a team that is harder to play against, defensively plays the game more responsible, I guess would be a better way to say it. And I think both of these players, that's why we focus so much on them, will help in that regard. So that's a big part of it. But it's a good question.
Yeah, well, on that note, when it comes to Bo Byron, what's the status there? Are you looking to resign, or is that something where you're looking to make a trade?
Yeah, for me, Bo is he's an elite defenseman in the league right now, you know, and so I am definitely open if it's kind of like the situation with JJ. If it's the right trade that we think helps our team, we're definitely open to that. In saying that, I love Bo Byram as a player and as a person, and I'm be more than fine with him part of our decor. Right now, the way our decor looks on paper with Bo in there is I think very, very good. So if it's the right thing and the right trade comes across, we'll definitely be open to it, but not something that I'm going to force.
Can Kesselring maybe take another step forward playing for Team USA? He was in a lot of high-pressure situations playing for them. Did you see him almost go to another level playing?
Yeah, I did, Paul. I think that's a good thing. If you notice that, you know, he did elevate, and it felt like in big moments, you know, wanted to be in those type of moments. And the other thing, you know, in Utah, tracking him pretty close last year, you know, there were, depending on what their health was in their lineup, there were times where he was, you know, in a bigger role and was thriving in that. So that's part of the comfort of saying that, you know, where we see him right now, we think he can be, you know, in a top four role, and he can continue to grow and get better. So that was definitely something that we talked about.
At what point in the offseason would you say you're comfortable or made
the
decision that you
wanted to trade? Yeah, I think, you know, our intention after the season and when we sat down was to sign JJ. We had those discussions, and it became apparent to me and to our group that it wasn't going to work. And for me, then the focus was, if this isn't going to work, then how do we make sure we're helping the Buffalo Sabres improve? And that's going back to really getting guys like Doan and Kesselring that are going to play certain roles, the identity they have, this wanting to be part of the solution, that type of character is important, so that's why we did it.
Kevin, you say it wasn't going to work. How disconcerting is it that one of your top players didn't want to be here?
Yeah, no, it's not for me. It's hey, you get to the end of the season, you take all the information in. It's fine. It's what's best for the Buffalo Sabres, and the trade was what's best.
Was there
Yeah, I mean, we like made it clear to them in the early on that okay, we'd like to work at this and let's figure out a solution. And it became clear to me that wasn't going to happen. And that's when we changed our focus.
You've mentioned, you know, several times in the process that you guys need to find, you know, a bigger edge on defenseman. Obviously, Kesselring is that. What do you still need to address? What are the holes you still have?
Yeah, I'd say that. You know, when we went into tonight, you're still talking about, hey, we need to be a better defensive team. And if there was, and maybe there still is, I mean, there's a long offseason ahead of us, and, you know, there's still moves that could potentially be made, whether it's in the next couple days or sometimes after July 1st. You know, like last year, I think we traded for McLeod, I don't know, at some point a few days after July 1st, because sometimes the dust settles and then teams that maybe we're in on a player, it doesn't work out, you know. So what I would say is we need to be better defensively. So we would look for that type of acquisition if they're available, whether that's free agency, trade. And I continue to say this, but we have to be harder to play against. We have to have guys in our lineup that just raise the compete level. And some of that can be, you know, our own internal growth, you know, like our own players just getting harder and stronger, and, you know, even a year older, some of that happens in the maturity. So that'll be our focus the rest of the way. Yeah, you know, Jack Quinn for me is there's so much upside there, and I think coming out of his entry-level contract, if you look at the path since when we drafted him, he's had some challenges, you know, just with the health and the adversity. And I think physically he wasn't where he needed to be last year, and some of that was out of unfortunate circumstance. But what I do know about Jack Quinn is there is not a player that I've been around in my time here that assesses his own game as honestly as he does. And the honest conversations that I had with Jack after the season, I know he took a heart, and he's going to come back better. So this is a contract that puts him in a position to kind of take the next step, and we're super excited about him. I think Jack's got a huge upside in front of him.
Did you make an attempt to sign JJ at all, like during the season or before the season, like try to engage in that type of
thing? Oh, you mean like last year at this time? No, I think the conversations for me, if I go back to whenever he hired his agent, Alan Walsh, because he had originally had a different agent and then had a new agent. That was probably a couple years ago. Every conversation with Alan from the moment JJ hired him was, hey, we really believe in this kid and think he's got upside. And whenever there were, whenever there were problems or concerns or things were arising or something was going on, Alan would call me. We'd have a great conversation. I would sit with JJ. We'd talk about it. And did we ever get into contract talks? No, over the year. But he knew that how we felt about him and that, you know, we were excited about the potential in him. But, you know, we made the trade because we think it was the best thing for the Buffalo Sabres, and that's the truth.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
That was Sabres general manager Kevin Adams speaking on the new draft pick, Radim Mertka. Of course, more draft picks coming your way tomorrow, round two tomorrow starting at noon. Our coverage is at 11 here on WGR. The Sabres will pick 7 in round two. But for more on Mertka, more reaction, you can go to WGR550.com and check out the article there. But we want to thank you for listening with us here all night long on our NHL draft coverage. Again, it'll continue tomorrow. I would encourage you to tune in right here on WGR. But for producer Evan DePasquale, Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Paul Hamilton out in Orchard Park, I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. More NHL draft coverage coming your way tomorrow right here on WGR. Good night, everyone.